I'm Brian.
I'm Griff. And this is the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information and inspiration that can help you start and manage and grow your successful business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 262. Welcome back, Brian.
It's great to be here, although I'm not in the studio.
Where are you, by the way?
I am in our Salt Lake City offices.
You must be exhausted, what with this week's hectic travel schedule. And what was the studio event in Philadelphia like?
Philly event was absolutely fantastic. And I made it even more hectic because I put in some family visit time in Connecticut on the front end of this week. Over the weekend, I saw my aunt and then took the train down to Philly. And the Philly event was incredible to see that many sellers in a room. And Jamie Iannone was there. Steve Priest, who is our chief financial officer, was there. Zhaodi, and then Gene Cook was there as well. And just really great energy. The sellers were, I think, happy to see each other, and they were excited about eBay Open and excited about being able to connect with lots of eBay staff members too, from our ads team and listing team and growth advisors and the authenticity guarantee and motors and such. So it was a really great spot, great venue, great group of sellers.
And how many sellers?
So in that event alone, we probably had close to 150.
Oh, wow. That is a lot.
Yeah. So it was nice.
Well, I did my little bit.
Oh, that's right. You were going to dial into one of the seller kickoff parties.
Yeah, I did Philip Jackson's group in Orlando. There were about 30 sellers, and they were really engaged, and they had great questions. And we went on for just over an hour, and it was a very good event, yeah.
Yeah, Philip has a good group there in Orlando, and he's got a good location for the meeting.
Actually, it was pretty good, and they had a big screen so everyone could see me. And then if a seller had a question, they would come up to the laptop so it was easier for me to hear. But it worked out. It was great.
I know that you and I have said this in the past, that our sellers say they get a lot from us, but like we actually learn a ton from our seller community when we speak to them, and that's what actually helps improve the site.
All right. Well, that's the studio event. And I want to remind you, by the way, that if you didn't, or if you did attend the eBay Open last week and you missed something, you can always view recordings of all the sessions, panels, and keynotes on the eBay for Business YouTube channel or on the eBay Open platform that you use to attend eBay Open. On that page, when you log back in, just look for the replay tab on the left. I checked this today, it's already up, and you can view all of the sessions. We'll put links to both of those in the transcript for episode 262.
And you know what else, Griff?
What?
I'm excited about our guest this week.
I am too. And this week, we're going to talk with eBay Vice President of Regulatory and International Markets, Andrea Stairs. We're going to talk about the announcement last week of eBay's compliance with the EU Digital Services Act and what this will mean for sellers, specifically those who offer their listings to buyers in the EU. But first, we got a lot of news to cover. So before we get to Andrea, let's talk about the news.
We sure do have a lot of news. And first up in the news this week is, of course, the 2023 Fall Seller Update released last week.
Yep.
And it's a big update.
Oh, yeah.
With lots of great new features and enhancements, as well as progress updates on things like unpaid items, AI, that was a hot topic in Philly, coupons, social, and many more.
Yeah, and there's a lot to talk about here. We're just going to do a breeze over the main topics, and let's start out with the ongoing unpaid item project with announced changes to buy it now purchases.
That's right. There's big news here. We've increased the price threshold for buy it now items that require immediate payment. This increase allows you to sell higher priced buy it now items and ensures that buyers are required to provide a payment method during checkout to secure their item.
Also in the unpaid item bucket, all buyers are now required to add a payment method when they're making offers on best offer listings. And after you accept the offer, we'll automatically charge the buyer's chosen payment method. So they don't have to return to eBay to complete the purchase, and you don't have to chase them down if you're the seller.
That sounds like good news.
Yeah.
These changes are automatically applied to buyer offers, so you don't need to update or make changes to your best offer listings.
Cool.
We also plan to launch similar changes to seller-initiated offers, buyer counteroffers, and auctions to even further improve the experience for sellers.
You know, Brian, sellers are always asking us if there really are consequences for those irresponsible buyers who rack up a lot of unpaid items.
Oh boy, I hear that question a lot.
As do I. Well, those sellers will be happy to learn. that we're also implementing stricter policies, including account suspension for buyers who repeatedly win auctions or make a best offer on items but fail to complete the purchase.
That is good news for sellers.
That is great news.
You know what else I hear from sellers a lot?
What?
A lot of sellers are a bit wary of making listings all immediate payment, including auctions or offers.
We talked about this in the last couple of weeks. We do hear that one a lot.
Well, not to worry. Sellers will always be able to opt out of this feature in buyer payment requirements if they so choose. If you opt out, eligible buyers won't be asked for payment and shipping information up front when they submit offers and or bid on your listings.
Let's move on to the other part of the update that dealt with new listing features and promotion features.
Well, Griff, there are so many points to mention here, so I'll just list them and you can read the details on the update page, a link to which we'll put in episode 262 in the summary overview.
That sounds good.
Here are the big callouts for this particular update. Regarding social media, you can now easily link your social accounts to your eBay account.
Yeah, and I think we talked about this rollout recently.
We did, but it doesn't hurt to point it out again.
True.
Continuing, there's a brand new feature that will spotlight your coupon campaigns right on your storefront.
Now, this one is really interesting.
I agree. Anything that helps the seller promote their inventory is all right by me.
Of course.
And this next one is a good one. Sellers will finally be able to send offers for multiple listings at once with the eBay app.
Oh, finally. How long have they been asking for that?
I don't even want to count the years. And another big topic this year that we've talked about in a recent episode is the introduction of new AI tools to help sellers list faster. Look for the expansion of AI on eBay in the coming weeks and months.
And you said this was a big topic of discussion in Philadelphia.
It was. AI came up quite a bit.
Did you learn anything?
It was interesting. Sellers, well, there were two camps. There was a camp of sellers who really liked it. And then there was another camp of sellers who felt like they're a little wary about it, but kind of felt like when they heard the other sellers, they thought, oh, I should try it.
Yeah.
The one thing that came up a couple times was, but it kind of writes in prose as opposed to like bulleted format. Mm-hmm. And the sellers are very used to in description saying, hey, here are the key things you need to focus on. So it'll be interesting to see how the AI learns and evolves over time.
Yeah. I wonder if you tell it, put this in a bulleted list. I mean, it is that kind of thing, right?
Yes.
Is it based on ChatGPT?
I believe it is.
Yeah. So I think you should be able to do that.
Yeah. Could kind of give it the directions and let it go.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one.
And one new feature for promoted listings, which is a new dynamic bidding strategy coming soon for promoted listings advanced.
Oh, that'll be good. And I know there's also some smart targeting for promoted listing advanced campaign. Those you can read about more on the update page. But there are a few shipping updates we really do have to mention. Coming very soon is something all sellers have been asking for years. I actually wish we had a drum roll. If you aren't aware of this from last week, gird your loins, because combined shipping on international orders is here.
I think this is great.
Yeah. And by offering this option, buyers' shipping costs can be determined by the weight and size of their entire order rather than separately for each individual item.
I think our sellers are really going to like that.
They should. They've been asking for it for what, like 30 years?
Well, I don't know about 30.
Okay, maybe I exaggerate.
20-something.
Hyperbole is my middle name.
Another new feature, sellers interested in offering buyers an alternative shipping option will be able to opt in. It's important to note that should you offer both eBay International Shipping and another international shipping option, and a buyer selects the non-eBay International Shipping option, you'll be charged the international selling fee and will be responsible if the item gets lost or damaged in transit or your buyer requests a return.
I suspect that this is going to be of interest to a small slice demographic of sellers,
yes,
based on the size and volume of their business.
Yeah, I agree.
And finally in the update, and this is the topic that's garnering the most questions, the European law requires business sellers using online marketplaces like eBay to include business contact details on listings offered to the buyers in the European Union. Now, eBay has to comply with this new EU law. I mean, it's not a question of, oh, we can just opt out. We can't. So starting in early 2024, if you're a registered business seller who sells to buyers in the EU, you'll need to show your business contact details on listings available for purchase in the EU And you can find your business information in your account page under My eBay, under Account, and then there's a section for Business Info.
And we have some questions regarding the new EU regulation that we will answer in the You Got Questions segment.
We certainly do.
Well, that's the update for news, but there's also news about a new addition to the eBay authentication service.
Oh, tell us, what is it?
Our current handbags authentication process includes two steps. First, authentication, and second, listing accuracy. In some cases, items can be authentic, but our experts discover a discrepancy between the item and what was described in the listing.
Yeah, it could be like, oh, the strap is 5 inches long and it's actually only 3 inches, something like that.
Correct. When this happens, eBay communicates to the buyer what the discrepancy is and gives the buyer the opportunity to either proceed with the transaction or return the item back to the seller.
Yeah. And in this new experience, launching, I believe, it said at the end of September, we're already in October, so I wonder if it's already in effect. But in this new experience, both buyers and sellers will be alerted when a discrepancy like this one is found, like the example. The alert will provide details of the particular discrepancy, and if you sell through eBay's authentication service, you'll start getting notifications when a listing accuracy issue is found in Seller Hub via email. And I think what happens then is the buyer can then say, well, I'm okay with that. Just ship it on.
Yep.
Or the buyer could say, oh, no, I didn't realize that, so I don't want the item.
And it's good for both the seller and the buyer to be visible to that.
Yeah. I'd rather the authenticator discover that before the buyer actually gets in and goes,
exactly.
Making me happy.
Well, you can view the entire update in its separate pages for each topic by navigating to Seller Center, click the Resource tab, and then click the link from the very bottom of the drop-down menu for seller updates.
And Brian, that's the news for this week, October 3rd, 2023. Now let's meet our special guest for this week's episode.
Sounds good.
This week, we're discussing the recent fall seller update that was announced last week, and here to help answer some questions about, in particular, two topics in the update is eBay Vice President of Regulatory and International Markets, Andrea Stairs. Welcome back to the podcast, Andrea.
Hi, Chris. It's been too long.
Yes, I think it's been almost a year. Well, we're glad to have you back. And as you said, it's been a while since we talked to you on the podcast, but a lot has changed in your life. Can you give us a recap of your eBay history and what your new role encompasses?
Change is the only constant. I'm still here, though, Griff, which is the important thing. I'll be 18 years next month. But yeah, no, last time we chatted, I was CMO, I think, of the U.S. business, and I was VP of seller community for the U.S. or for North America. Since then, there have been some reorgs, and my latest role is, as you said, leading our international markets and our regulatory response. International means basically everything other than the U.K., U.S., and Germany. Europe, Latin America, Canada, Australia, and then regulatory is all of how we respond to this increasing regulatory environment that we're facing in a way that minimizes as much as possible the impact on eBay and our sellers.
Yeah, when we say regulatory, that's worldwide, but it's also in the US and any other market where regulations might present some challenges to eBay sellers.
Totally. And you're dead on. We're seeing regulations pop up all around the world. Europe tends to lead a little bit, but we've got some interesting regulations that are in front of Congress in the US. We've got potentially new tax regulations coming in Canada. So yeah, it's a global role and it's a little bit of follow the bouncing ball as we sort of pivot to one regulation to the next.
We're going to delve into two particular aspects of the update here, but it might be prudent to start off with the EU and just a sort of an overview of what we're seeing happening in the EU when it comes to regulations.
Yeah. So what we're seeing is the European Union really get quite ambitious about consumer protection and about wanting to make sure that consumers have all the information they need to make good decisions, that they're protected when they buy a product. So they're all the best of intentions. The regulations themselves, though, can be pretty complex to deal with. And one of the challenges that we have is sort of the idea of stacking of regulations. So different regulations on top of others that make it challenging for a small, medium business to deal with. My team partners a lot with the government relations team, who your sellers will be really familiar with Main Street and the work that the US government relations team does to really advocate for small, medium businesses in particular and talk about the challenges that meeting the regulatory bar that keeps on going up and up and up present for those sellers. And so we spent a lot of time with various stakeholders, like government folks, politicians, telling the story of the eBay marketplace and the sellers that power the eBay marketplace, and really advocating for those sellers and making sure that regulations are still able to achieve their objective, but also do it in a way that is not making it so hard for sellers to participate in particularly international trade.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think one of the things we're going to talk about is 1099K, which is now going to be top of mind for a lot of sellers as the year-long sort of furlough for compliance was put into place. I suspect that eBay may have had something to do with that delay in implementation. Would I be wrong in thinking that?
I think you're right, definitely. One of the things that is really effective in terms of our playbook, there's a couple things. One is having our sellers meet key politicians and in particular their representatives. And so every year we do these fly-ins to DC. We bring sellers, they tell their own stories. So much more effective for a politician to hear directly from a seller than it is to hear from some third party, even eBay. We do spend a lot of time on that. The other thing is we create coalitions with other like companies who are competitors in our day-to-day, but you know, we all have shared interests around making sure that third-party marketplaces continue to flourish. And so we'll work with them to lobby and advocate. On 1099, we've done a lot of both of those activities, and I think they've had a really good impact and have opened folks' eyes to exactly the impact of what they were proposing. I think our efforts have really paid off in that area as well as others.
So let's talk a little bit about 1099 first, because this is an ongoing conversation with sellers.
Yep.
As we know. Can you update us with what's going on right now and what's going to be happening that's different this year?
Yes. This is the time of year where folks really start to pay attention to 1099. It's not fun talking about tax season. No one really wants to get excited about that. But we have been making the seller experience or working to make the seller experience for tax preparation a lot easier. And we've created a new option this year for paperless tax report delivery. That means that sellers who meet the transaction thresholds will have access to a downloadable version as soon as it's available, which I think is going to create a lot more transparency and a lot more certainty for sellers. Obviously, going paperless is more convenient, and it's going to just speed up the whole process. Griff, if people want to get a paperless copy of their 1099 form, they're going to need to opt in by January 8th, 2024. And the way that they're going to do that is by going to Seller Hub starting in early October or my eBay. And they're going to see an opt-in banner in Seller Hub or on my eBay, and they just click on it. And that will be the opt-in.
If sellers have opted into paperless in the past, are they going to need to do this again?
Yeah, unfortunately they are. It's because we have updated this version of the paperless reporting to meet the most recent 1099 tax law requirements, which then means that we need to reconfirm the preference for a paperless report. This is what I mean, Griff, around it's like the regulations on top of regulations.
Yeah.
So yeah, unfortunately, they're going to have to opt in again.
Okay. Well, I think I'll be doing that because I know I'd prefer not to get a paper copy just because, well, it's green, isn't it? Just to get a digital download. So.
And I think we're all now saving all of our documents, you know, in the specific folders in our computer. So it just makes sense to get it as a downloadable format and not have to scan it or put it in an actual filing cabinet.
Yeah, because I can tell you, I lose paper left and right, but I always know where my files are on my computer.
So. Exactly. And you can search them, Griff, which is so much easier.
It's so much easier. Yes, indeed. Talking about digital services, the European regulation that we're talking about in the seller update that was released last week is the Digital Services Act. It's called the DSA. Can you lead us through this? What is this Digital Services Act?
So it's a great question and one that I asked myself when I got this job earlier this year, but I'm now fully up to speed, so I'm now qualified to answer it. So as I was saying earlier, the European Commission is really putting an emphasis on consumer protection. And so they adopted a regulation called the Digital Services Act, we call it DSA, to provide increased consumer protections and transparency for European consumers. The law applies to all digital platforms, including online marketplaces. It also applies to social media platforms and a whole range of other companies, but it definitely applies to online marketplaces like eBay. And what's new for the application of this law versus some prior laws is that it applies to all the inventory that is being sold to European customers. And so that means that it includes or encompasses sellers who live outside of the EU, but who are offering inventory to sell to buyers who live inside of the European Union. And that's a little bit different.
Yeah, it definitely is. And reading through the update, it appears that sellers who want their products on eBay to appear in front of EU buyers are now going to have to provide business information to European buyers. Is that correct?
So this applies to business sellers. So if you're registered as a business, then this applies to you. And yes, the European Union, the Commission, has mandated that inventory that's coming from business sellers needs to show information about the business that's offering that inventory. That's what we were talking about in the seller update.
And this information, just to be clear, is it shown on listings to all buyers or just European buyers?
It's shown on listings that appear to European buyers. It won't be on your listing that shows on eBay.com to an American buyer. It will be on your listing on eBay.fr that shows to a French buyer.
Okay, that makes sense. So let's talk a little bit about exactly what information will be shown on, say, my listings if I'm still selling into the European Union in 2024.
Well, I hope, Griff, that you will be. Your information will be your business name, your business address, your email, and your phone number. That's what's going to show on the listings that are available to European buyers. You're going to wonder, well, what does that look like? We've built a new page in the account settings that will allow you to customize some of your contact information and see what's going to show. The new page can be found in the account settings, and it's called Public Business Information. And again, this is what we were talking about in the seller update. One of the things that we're going to allow through that is for you to customize some of the information that you can show. For example, if you registered with your main telephone number, but you now have a telephone number that's for customer service because you've got someone who's just manning that or an email address that's for customer service, it would be good for you to swap out your business phone number for your customer support phone number. And that's kind of customization that you can make. And you can do that in this public business information page that's been created.
And just to be clear, this is determined by the registration level. If you're registered as a business seller, it doesn't matter, right? If I work out of my home or not, I still have to provide my business information, right?
Yeah, that's correct. If you've registered as a business seller, even if you're working from your home, this is going to be the address that's shown on listings available to European buyers.
Okay, so if sellers are using, for example, their home address, and many sellers do, can sellers use free or cheap ways to create a non-household business address, like, you know, a P.O. box?
It's a great idea, but unfortunately, no. The law requires that we have addresses that are real addresses, and P.O. boxes don't meet the requirements. Look, I know that this is going to be a little bit jarring and maybe slightly uncomfortable. European sellers have been showing this information to European buyers for quite some time. We understand that for U.S. sellers, Canadian sellers who might be listening, sellers around the world, it might be a little bit of a bit of a hurdle to get over, but it is the standard now in Europe. And so that's why we wanted to talk about it. We wanted to make sure that everyone had some warning to this. It will start to show in early 2024.
If I'm understanding correctly, PO boxes won't meet the requirements?
Correct. So the address that you registered with is going to be the address that shows, and unfortunately, PO boxes are not an option that is open to us.
But, you know, an interesting thing just happened to me this year. I don't know if you know this, but I moved. Sellers who want to update their information, how do sellers do this? Where do they go?
Sellers don't need to do anything outside. As long as the information that is being presented is correct, you know, as long as they haven't moved, they don't need to do anything further. eBay is going to use the information that was provided at the time of registration or that has been updated through the channels, as we've just talked about, and pre-populate that information on the listings available to European buyers. As long as the information is correct, that's the information that will get used. If you need to update your registration information, there are flows for that. There are ways to do that. You can, as I said earlier, customize a certain parts of the information that shows to buyers. And so that's where we'd recommend if you've got a customer service email or a customer service phone number, using that and swapping that out. But if you don't do anything, eBay will still manage the process and will show the information that you provide at the time of registration on the listings that are available to European buyers.
I assume the process is still the same as it's always been. You just log into account settings on my eBay and then go to this new page.
Called Public Business Information.
So there's where you go down. I think as you're listening, this may be live. If not, it'll be live next week, but we'll keep you up to date. Now, the big question, As eBay, we don't want anyone opting out of anything, but there's sellers who are going to say, look, I'm just not comfortable with this. And how can those sellers, if they choose, opt out of eBay you selling to avoid having to meet these requirements?
Here's where I advocate strongly for people not to opt out of international selling. As someone who leads a whole slew of international markets, who came from the Canadian business where cross-border trade is so important to the success of our sellers, I'm a massive advocate for making your inventory available to as many markets as possible. You'll never get me off that, Griff. But obviously, if folks don't want their listing shown to European buyers, they can adjust their settings to opt out of selling to Europe. And that's a pretty easy change to make. To do that, you can create a shipping exclusion list and choose Europe as an exclusion. And that would apply both to eBay international shipping as well as direct or self-ship options. Okay. But again, please don't do that. This is something that European sellers have been doing for a very long time. I know it's something new to get used to, but it's going to apply not only to eBay, but all other marketplaces. And so I think this is essentially the new normal.
I think it's important to say that this is an EU regulation. This is not something that eBay came up with arbitrarily just to meet some other internal requirement. This is an external reality that we have to comply with.
Exactly. And there are massive fines if we don't. And Griff, the reality is that the regulatory environment is getting more and more complicated. And again, to your point, this is not eBay doing things because we think it's a good idea or we've got some perspective. This is governments having policies that they are putting in place that have consequences to how we run the marketplace. And we need to make sure that we are doing the right thing for the marketplace and for our sellers. And I think that's why my team exists, my regulatory team. Some of our competitors don't have regulatory teams who are thinking about how to mitigate or reduce the consequence on sellers and not just pass everything on to sellers and think about how can we be more helpful. And then partner with our colleagues in government relations to really effectively tell the story of small, medium businesses in particular and what these regulations do when you're a 1, 2, 3 person business and you have this new kind of all this new paperwork or all these new things that you have to do. And so we're trying to work on two fronts. One, to make the regulations as easy as possible to comply with. And then on the other front, trying to really tell the story and advocate for our sellers as these regulations are being developed in whatever jurisdiction they're being worked on.
That makes sense. Well, Andrea, I hope you're enjoying your new role.
Hey, there's never a dull moment, I'll tell you that. No, it's super interesting and I love being back. It was fun running marketing for the US and Canada, but I have to say I love being back in a role that takes me closer to the markets and lets me meet sellers more frequently. So yeah, I'm really excited to be doing what I'm doing. I'd love to get feedback from sellers. I hope they see us trying to do the right thing as we navigate this regulatory environment that we've got ahead of us. But yeah, I'm happy to come back again, Griff. It's lovely to talk to you again.
Yes, it's same here. And we're happy to have you back. Where can sellers go to provide feedback for this recent part of the seller update?
Ooh, that's a great question. I mean, I think the community boards is always a good place. And then on specific regulations, the Main Street Hub is a great place to go. And then they can always send me an email. I'm astairs@ebay.com. So that's, if you just want to shoot me a note, I'm happy to get it as well.
That's very brave of you to give out your email address. I have newfound respect for you, Andrea.
Griff, this is not the first time that people have my email address out there. So this was a very low risk thing for me to do. I couldn't be head of the U.S. seller community and not have my email address out there. So they've got it.
And we're very glad that you do. And Andrea, I'm so glad you're still with us. And this is going to be an exciting role because, as you said, this is a frontier that's just going to expand. The days of the old Wild West of the internet were long gone. But this is just another indication about how things mature and regulation is just a part of life. So thank you for explaining this to us.
My pleasure. It's been great to be on again.
We've been talking with Andrea Stairs, who used to be our CMO, but now she's got this new role. She's the Vice President of Regulatory and International Markets. We'll have Andrea back on every time there's an update or a new development when it comes to regulation, both in the U.S. and across the world.
You got questions?
Well, guess who has answers? We do.
We better.
And our questions this week, Brian, are all about last week's fall seller update.
Makes sense.
Our first group of questions are regarding the new EU Digital Services Act and how it applies to business sellers. Now, Andrea touched on some of these topics in the previous segment, but I thought it would be wise to review them based on the top seller questions that sellers are asking regarding the DSA on our community boards and some of the chatter that I've heard both during eBay Open and emails. So our first question, Brian, why don't you read it?
I'd be happy to. Our first question, if my selling account with eBay is registered as a business rather than personal, can I change my account status back to personal?
And the answer is?
No.
Nope, you can't. We delved really deep into this. And in fact, I went so far as to try to do it. And it's the one aspect of your business info that does not have an edit button. Yeah,
I did the same thing because I'm registered as a business and no ability to go back and forth.
And I think a big part of this, by the way, the reason why it's almost impossible to edit it, you may have noticed in the last couple years that as the internet matures and as marketplaces like eBay and other marketplaces, which are buyer and seller on a platform, become more a part of everyday life, the government is not just in the US, but obviously in places like the EU, is very interested in being able to track that business activity in order to make sure that the owners of said businesses are following all the business rules for that country, making sure they're reporting their income correctly, all those other things. And being able to provide a seller who has registered with intent as a business to then go back to personal so they don't have to get like a 1099K or they don't have to comply with EU business regulations. I just don't know another way to say this, but it's slightly dishonest. We don't allow for that change.
Yeah. Thinking about this, can I provide a PO box for my business address then?
Well, that was another question that came up a lot because people were a little hesitant about putting their street address. And the answer is that I got back is no, I didn't try. You can edit your address, but I didn't try changing it to a PO box. But I'm assuming that because we're saying no, that there's some filter in place that's going to catch this.
Because your business address also has to be associated with like whatever banking information you've got, right?
Yeah.
Well, and so I don't think you can have a PO box for your banking information.
Good point. And I think there is a warning there that says that if you change your address to an address that isn't associated with your payment on file, that it could end up with all of your payouts being held. Don't change your address to something that isn't related directly to the address for your bank or credit card or whatever's on file. As you said, most of those institutions don't allow for PO boxes.
Yeah. Well, another question that's come up is, will my business information be visible to buyers in the US?
The answer is no. If you're a business seller and you're selling into the EU, your business information is only visible to buyers in the EU. That's a good one.
That is a good one. I was glad to see that one as well. Another question that came up is, if I opt out of all international shipping options, will my business information still be visible to buyers?
And the answer to that is no. It won't be visible to buyers in the EU or in the US or anywhere else. This is only for international shipping options into the EU. But I have to say, because I have a suspicion that there will be some sellers who say, I'm just going to opt out. You really should never opt out of any feature on eBay without first giving it a lot of thought.
Especially if EU buying is a big part of your business.
Yeah, if you're making a lot of sales into the EU, you're cutting off your nose to spite your sales. And I wouldn't do that.
And also, like, even if you're not making a lot, let's say it's only 3 to 5% of your sales. Do you really want to take a 3 to 5% haircut?
No, I don't. I want to make all the sales I can.
Exactly. And I understand that for some of our sellers, this is going to be a frustrating one, but it's a regulatory issue. And most likely, if you want to sell into Europe, no matter who you are and you're a business, you're going to have to do this.
Yeah. And I heard Europeans have money. I want some of their euros.
Euros and, oh, it makes me think of another question.
What's that?
Does this also apply to selling into the UK?
No, it doesn't. The UK may follow with their own sort of rule, but the UK is no longer a part of the EU.
That's what made me think about it. I thought, let's ask.
No, it's only the European Union, which sadly, the UK, for better or worse, I think for worse, actually Brexited themselves out of.
Yes, I think they regret it too. Well, that's some good questions about the new DSA requirements for Europe. Now for a popular question about the enhancements to best offer and immediate payment also known as the elimination of unwanted unpaid items.
Mm-hmm. Now, a seller asked, can I opt out of this? That is, can I opt out of having my buyers be required to provide a payment option before buying? I don't use immediate payment because I like to wait for my buyers to purchase a lot of items and then ask me for an invoice with adjusted shipping. So I don't want to force them to pay for every item when they purchase it. I need to be able to opt out of this, can I?
Yes, you can opt out of this feature in buyer payment requirements. If you opt out, eligible buyers won't be asked for payment and shipping information up front when they submit offers and or bid on your listings.
But, and there's always a big but here.
Big but.
Big but. Encourage you to remain opted in so your items are paid for and orders get created quickly. I would ask any seller who's still allowing buyers to purchase the old legacy eBay 1990s way without paying in order to provide a shipping discount to consider using a more efficient discount strategy.
Exactly. I agree 100% with you, Griff. For example, sellers could use a shipping discount promotion or for identical items in multi-quantity listing, volume pricing, or a free shipping option that moves some or all of the cost of shipping into the item price.
Yeah, and I think these are just going to work more efficiently. I know people get habituated into a certain behavior, and that's true for selling on eBay and for buying. That's just super, super inefficient.
It is.
It's the only place in the world where a buyer can purchase something and it's sold, but they haven't paid for it.
Think about what you just said. The only place in the world, which means a brand new buyer into our marketplace, you've got to train that buyer on how you want them to purchase from you instead of adopting the best practices that are on every other marketplace.
And I know it's difficult. I'm going to acknowledge and validate your concern and anxiety about the way you've been doing business for years and changing that so that you don't have to wait for a bunch of purchases and then send an adjusted invoice. There are better ways to do this. And if the overall arching strategy is take shipping out of the equation. Now, free shipping is one way to do it. Flat rate shipping is another, offering automatic volume discounts, whether that's with a shipping discounted promotion, or if it's through volume pricing for multiple quantity listings in the same listing. All of these are just going to make the velocity of your sales faster. Really recommend that sellers who are using the old method consider this.
And more convenient, like think about a brand new buyer to our marketplace. They have to guess that you're the type of person who's going to do that, or they have to find it within your description. Whereas if you do that up front, they just know that that's going to happen.
Exactly. And finally, Brian, I thought we'd end this week with an email that's totally unrelated to the update. I want to ask, do you remember a few weeks back we asked for unusual shipping stories?
I do.
Well, someone sent one in a little late, but I couldn't leave it out because although it's not directly related to selling on eBay, it's still a good one, and it shows how the most unusual things happen at the post office. It's from seller John, who sells on eBay under the user ID upper_bound. And John wrote, I'm a regular at the Northfield, Michigan post office. One day, as I was dropping off my daily packages near closing time, so I guess it has a little bit to do with selling, I heard a customer stressing to the clerk that they needed their letter delivered by noon the next day. The clerk glanced at the letter and then replied, no problem, I can deliver this letter in less than a minute. She then hand-stamped it and with a cancel, and then she handed the letter to me and said, John, this letter's for you.
I wonder how many times that happens. Think about all the things that had to be known. John had to be known to the clerk. That person had to be delivering that message at the same time and then asking for, not just dropping it in, but asking for a higher level of service. Unbelievable.
Now thinking about it, I'm curious, this was obviously John and this other person probably didn't know each other face to face because they would have said, the other person would have said, oh, I brought this in for you. I'm curious to know what the relationship is. Was it a bill? What was the letter? John, inquiring minds want to know, what was this letter and who was this person?
Yes. And to get it back to them by noon the next day.
Yeah, something, maybe it was a... Could it be a summons or a subpoena? What was that?
That could be like a segment of an episode.
It could be. We could do our own version of Dateline.
And if you want to know about John's letter, or if you have a question, why not send it in to us at eBay for Business?
Why not?
You can call us on 888-723-4630 with your question or comment, and we'll do our best to give you an answer.
That's 888-723-4630. And you can call that hotline any time of the day at your convenience. Leave your question or comment. And if you're really shining, we might put it on the air.
And if you're not a call-on-the-phone person, who's not a call-on-the-phone person, Griff?
Well, I'm not. I hate the phone.
You can email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
And now it's time for your weekly three-point podcast checklist.
Check the announcement board at ebay.com/announcements for up-to-date seller news every day.
Now, if you missed anything at eBay Open last week, don't despair. Don't pull out your hair. Don't rend your clothing. Don't gnash your teeth. You can visit the site and view the keynotes and sessions on either the eBay for Business YouTube channel or the eBay Open 2023 platform. Just sign in and on the left-hand side, click the tab for replay.
Need to review anything in this episode? It's easy. Check the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you heard and to find the links we referenced during the episode.
Yeah, if there's ever an episode where people are going to need to reference, I'm pretty sure this is
this one.
Now, on our next episode, we're going to talk with eBay seller Tate Abudenpile about his trading card business and his take on his experience and participation in last week's eBay Open 2023. Now,
that'll be interesting. Hear direct from a seller. We'd like to again thank our guest this week, eBay Vice President of Regulatory and International Markets, Andrea Stairs.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.